Welcome to Zichud Daf Siman Nimam Rabbeinu Avraham Goldreyer and Tamar Zechus Bava Metzia Daf Tzadi Aleph. The seventh parak Kasuchas Apohim. The seventh parak has been generously sponsored by Dr. and Mrs. Marcel and Tammy Scheinman Lezecher Nishmas Yisrael Isser Ben Zion Ben Yaakov. May his neshama have an aliyah. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, in a brayse it was taught, Achosimas Aparva Dashba Loka. One who muzzles a neighbor's cow and threshes with it receives lashes. Umishalm arba kamu paro ushosha kamu chamor and pays the owner 4 cubs for a cow and 3 cubs for a donkey, which are estimated amounts the animals would have eaten. The Gemara says that the rule is in a loka mishalim. One does not receive malkas and also pay money for one violation. 3 answers are given. Number one, Abai says the Tanna is Rabbi Meir who holds loka mishalim. One does receive malkas and pay. Number two, Rava says, Eslan Asra Torah Vafil Baal Imo. The Torah forbade a zonas pay for use as a carbon, even if one had relations with his mother, although such relations incur the death penalty, and Basin cannot force him to pay her wages. If he did pay, it cannot be used for a carbon. This proves that essentially he does owe the money and must pay Letzesia de Shemaim, and that is the intent of our Braisa. Rashi adds that if the owner seizes the amount due him, he's not required to return it. And number three, Rapapa answers that the obligation to feed the animal preceded the liability from Malkas, because it began when he took the animal into his domain. Pointing to the next Mishnah states, Hayosim Biyadav of Aloba Raglav, even if he was working with his hands, but not his feet, or his feet, but not his hands, Afil Bekseifo, or even with just his shoulder, Harza Ocha, this worker may eat from the produce. Rabbi Yossi bar Rabbi Yehuda says, Adshiyasim Biyadav Ubaraglav, he cannot eat unless he works with both his hands and his feet. The Tanna Kamma holds the Pasuk implies that any work is sufficient to be entitled to eat, and Rabbi Yossi holds his work must be similar to that of an ox, which works with its hands and feet, meaning all 4 legs. Rabbi Bar Rav Huna asks, what's the luck if one threshes with geese or chickens whose weight rests only on their feet, according to Rabbi Yossi bar Rabbi Yehuda? Does he hold the critical similarity to an ox's work is, we require that it work with all its ability, which would be satisfied by fowl threshing by foot, or does he literally require threshing with hands and feet, which is lacking in the case of fowl? This question is left unresolved. And pointing with you, the next Mishnah states, if he was working with figs, he may not eat grapes. If he was working with grapes, he may not eat figs. However, he may hold himself back from eating until he reaches superior fruit and eat his fill there. The Gemara asks, Osa begefen zeh, mao sheyocheh begefen acher. If he is working with one grapevine, may he eat from another grapevine? Do we say, Mamin sha tenosin lekeiv shelbaal bais meinin? We require that he eat from the same species which you are putting into the owner's vessel, and that requirement is fulfilled here. Or, do we say that he may only eat from the item he's putting into the owner's vessel, meaning he's working on, which is lacking in this case? If one may only take from the very item he's working with, then the Mishnah, which only prohibits taking grapes when working with figs, implying taking other figs is permitted, must be memodres, where one is hanging over the other, and he is, in a sense, working with the grapes as well, since he must lift the branches of one to reach the other. So once again, the 3 points are, number one, it was taught in a braisa, Achosim asapar b'dashba loka, one who muzzles a neighbor's cow and threshes with it, receives lashes, umashalm arba kabin l'para, ushosha kabin l'chamor, and pays the owner 4 cubs for a cow and 3 cubs for a donkey, which are the estimated amounts the animals would have eaten. The Gemara asks that the rule is, ein loka mishalim, one does not receive malkas and also pay money for one violation. 3 answers are given. Number one, Abai says, the Tanna is Rabbi Meir who holds loku mishalim. One does receive malkas and pay. Number two, Rava says, Eslan Asra Torah Vafil Baal Imo. The Torah forbade a zonas pay for use as a carbon, even if one had relations with his mother, although such relations incur the death penalty, and Basin cannot force him to pay her wages. If he did pay, it cannot be used for a carbon. This proves that essentially he does owe the money and must pay Letzesia de Shemaim, and that is the intent of our Braisa. Rashi adds that if the owner seizes the amount due him, he's not required to return it. And number three, Rapapa answers that the obligation to feed the animal preceded the liability from Malkas, because it began when he took the animal into his domain. Pointing to the next Mishnah states, Hayosim Biyadav of Aloba Raglav, even if he was working with his hands, but not his feet, or his feet, but not his hands, Afil Bekseifo, or even with just his shoulder, Harza Ocha, this worker may eat from the produce. Rabbi Yossi bar Rabbi Yehuda says, Adshiyasim Biyadav Ubaraglav, he cannot eat unless he works with both his hands and his feet. The Tanna Kamma holds the Pasuk implies that any work is sufficient to be entitled to eat, and Rabbi Yossi holds his work must be similar to that of an ox, which works with its hands and feet, meaning all 4 legs. Rabbi bar Rav Huna asks, what's the luck if one threshes with geese or chickens whose weight rests only on their feet, according to Rabbi Yossi bar Rabbi Yehuda? Does he hold the critical similarity to an ox's work is, we require that it work with the ox's ability, which would be satisfied by fowl threshing my foot, or does he literally require threshing with hands and feet, which is lacking in the case of fowl? This question is left unresolved. And point number 3, the next Mishnah states, if he was working with figs, he may not eat grapes. If he was working with grapes, he may not eat figs. However, he may hold himself back from eating until he reaches superior fruit and eat his fill there. The Gemara says, if he was working with one grapevine, may he eat from another grapevine? Do we say, we require that he eat from the same species which you are putting into the owner's vessel, and that requirement is fulfilled here? Or do we say that he may only eat from the item he's putting into the owner's vessel, meaning he's working on, which is lacking in this case? If one may only take from the very item he's working with, then the Mishnah, which only prohibits taking grapes when working with figs, implying taking other figs is permitted, must be memodres, where one is hanging over the other, and he is, in a sense, working with the grapes as well, since he must lift the branches of one to reach the other. All right, so now we go to our Simur Daf Tzadi off, and our standard simon is an exit sign, a yitzia, an exit sign. So here goes. The man getting lashed and paying under the base in the exit sign for borrowing a neighbor's ox and using a muzzle shaped like an exit sign was shocked to see a chicken cross the road to thresh and eat while its owner was eating from one grapevine after harvesting from a different grapevine. Once again, in slow motion. The man getting lashed and paying under the base in the exit sign, that must be Simur Daf Tzadi off, say yitzia. The man getting lashed and paying under the basin exit sign for borrowing a neighbor's ox and using a muzzle shaped like an exit sign, which reminds us it was taught in a brisa, chosim is a par v'dashba loka. One who muzzles a neighbor's cow and threshes with it receives lashes and pays the owner 4 kavs for a cow and 3 kavs for a donkey, which are the estimated amounts the animals would have eaten. The Gemara asks that the rule is ain alokum mishalim. One does not receive lashes and also pay money for one violation. 3 answers are given. So the man getting lashed and paying under the basin exit sign for borrowing a neighbor's ox and using a muzzle shaped like an exit sign was shocked to see a chicken cross the road to thresh and eat, which reminds us the next Mishnah states, even if he was working with his hands but not his feet, or his feet but not his hands, or even with just his shoulder, this worker may eat from the produce. Rabbi Yossi bar Rabbi Yehuda says, he cannot eat unless he works with both his hands and his feet. Rabbi Bar Rav Huna asks, what's the halacha if one threshes with geese or chickens whose weight rests only on their feet, according to Rabbi Yossi bar Rabbi Yehuda? Does he hold the critical similarity to an ox's work is, we require that it work with all its ability, which would be satisfied by fowl threshing by foot, or does he literally require threshing with hands and feet, which is lacking in the case of fowl? This question is left unresolved. So the man getting lashed and paying under the basin exit sign for borrowing a neighbor's ox and using a muzzle shaped like an exit sign was shocked to see a chicken cross the road to thresh and eat while its owner was eating from one grapevine after harvesting from a different grapevine. Which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, if he's working with figs, he may not eat grapes. If he's working with grapes, he may not eat figs. However, he may hold himself back from eating until he reaches superior fruit and eat his fill there. The Gemara asks, if he's working with one grapevine, may he eat from another grapevine? So once again, the man getting lashed and paying under the basin exit sign for borrowing a neighbor's ox and using a muzzle shaped like an exit sign was shocked to see a chicken cross the road to thresh and eat while its owner was eating from one grapevine after harvesting from a different grapevine. All right, so now it's time for 4 Blah Bah Chazara. Daf Pei Zayin. So the Simon Daf Pei Zayin is Paz, gold. So here goes. That Tzadi bring 400 bars of gold, gold. That must mean Daf Pei Zayin, Paz. That Tzadi bring 400 bars of gold to give to the wicked land seller, who said he didn't want to charge much, which reminds us of Ram told his guests that he would bring them a piece of bread, yet that we finally ran to fetch calves for them. Rebbe Lazar said, from here we can derive that the righteous pledge a little and do a lot. However, the wicked say a lot and do not even do a little. The second statement can be demonstrated from Ephraim. So that Tzadik bringing 400 bars of gold to give to the wicked land seller, who said he didn't want to charge much, was approached by 3 men who asked him where his wife was, who happened to be in the tent. Which reminds the Gemara as why the angels asked about Sarah's whereabouts. Either was to endear her to her husband by indicating that she was more modest than other women. V'yosi b'Rabbi Chanina said, k'dei l'shagra al kos shel bracha, in order to send her the cup of bracha. The Marsha explains that this refers to the cup of wine over which Birchas HaMazon is said, which would be recited by the grace of the 3 guests and sent to the woman of the house to drink because she's blessed by drinking it. So that Tzadik bringing 400 bars of gold to give to the wicked land seller, who said he didn't want to charge much, was approached by 3 men who asked where his wife was, who happened to be in the tent, next to where his workers harvesting the field were eating from the produce, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Ve'eil ochim min haTorah, and these workers may eat from the employer's food by biblical decree. Oseba mechubro akarka b'shalz gemar molacha, either one who works with produce attached to the ground at the time of the completion of its work, meaning harvesting, or with produce detached from the ground before the completion of its work, meaning before it's fully processed vis-a-vis meiser and chal obligations. Also, he may only eat if he's working with produce which grows in the ground, as opposed to milking cows. Daf Peches. So the simon Daf Peches is a pach, a garbage can or dustbin. So here goes. The farmer knowingly brought his tevel into his courtyard where garbage cans were kept. Garbage cans? That must be on Daf Peches. Pach. The farmer knowingly brought his tevel into his courtyard where garbage cans were kept, making it biblically subject to meiser, which reminds us, the Gemara brings the Malchokas, at which point produce becomes obligated meiser. Is it when it enters the house or enters the courtyard? So the farmer knowingly brought his tevel into his courtyard where garbage cans were kept, making it biblically subject to meiser, while he let his workers also eat from the detached produce in the field, which reminds us, on the previous stop, the Gemara provided the source that a worker may eat from produce he's working on, which is attached to the ground. We also know that an ox or any animal working with detached produce may eat from it, from the prohibition to muzzle an animal while it's threshing detached grain. The Gemara seeks the source that a human worker may eat from detached produce he's working with, as taught by our Mishnah. So the farmer knowingly brought his tevel into his courtyard where garbage cans were kept, making it biblically subject to meiser, while he let his workers also eat from the detached produce in the field, while his animals also ate from produce that was attached. Which reminds us, the Gemara then asks, Shor b'machuber manalan, from where do we know an ox's allowance to eat from attached produce? Rabina says that both the laws of a human eating detached produce and an animal eating attached produce may be derived from the pasuk, which prohibits muzzling an ox. Since all animals are included in this law, why did the Torah mention ox? It teaches akushi chosim v'nechsim v'nechsim v'chosim, to compare the muzzler to the muzzled and the muzzled to the muzzler. Just as the human muzzler may eat attached produce, the muzzled animal may as well. And just as the muzzled may eat detached produce, the muzzler may as well. Daf Pei Tes. So the simon Daf Pei Tes is a chalent pot. So here goes. The worker used a big chalent pot. Chalent pot? That must be on Daf Pei Tes. The worker used a big chalent pot with the word daish on it to work in the field while he ate from gedulei karka at the time of gemar molacha before the chiyuv of meiser and challah, which reminds us, the gemar quotes a series of four braises, each darshaning the word daish, threshing, written by the muzzling prohibition, requiring another similarity to daish regarding a worker right to eat. So the worker used a big chalent pot with the word daish on it to work in the field while he ate from gedulei karka at the time of gemar molacha before the chiyuv of meiser and challah, gave his wife a chalent pot to toast the grain he collected, which reminds us, the Gemara asks, Poel Moshe Yehavhe Be'ur V'yochel, what's the halacha regarding a worker toasting produce in a fire and eating it? Is this similar to a worker eating something together with the produce to enhance its flavor and increase its appetite, which is forbidden? Our question concerns luxury pera, producing the produce to be more appetizing without adding another ingredient, and where one's wife or children toast the produce for him, so there's no bitul malacha. So the worker used a big chalent pot with the word daish on it to work in the field while he ate from gedulei karka at the time of gemar malacha, before the chiyuv of meiser and challah, gave his wife a chalent pot to toast the grain he collected, after she salted two grapes, making them chayiv in meiser, which reminds us, the Gemara discusses salting produce regarding meiser obligation because salting produce completes its processing. Rava ultimately explains that salting one's fruit would not obligate it in meiser, but regarding two at a time, dipping in salt establishes the meiser obligation similar to stipulating. Dav Tzadi, so the simmer Dav Tzadi is a tzedakah box. So here goes. That tzedakah collector tzedakah, that must be more on Dav Tzadi. That tzedakah collector, he used a muzzle shaped like a pushka to muzzle his ox when it threshed truma grain, which reminds us, a braisa teaches that if one muzzles animals which are threshing truma or meiser grain, he doesn't violate the muzzling prohibition. Still, because of Maris Ayin, he must put food in a bag attached to its mouth. So the tzedakah collector, he used a muzzle shaped like a pushka to muzzle his ox when it threshed truma grain, was horrified when someone took one of his muzzles and instructed a nachri to muzzle his ox to thresh with it, which reminds us, the Gemara asks, what's the halacha about a man saying to a nachri, muzzle my cow and thresh with it? Do we say that amir l'nachri shvus, telling a Gentile to violate a prohibition for Jews, is rabbinically forbidden only with regard to Shabbos, d'isr skila, which is a prohibition punished by stoning, whereas muzzling, which is amir lav, is not forbidden to instruct a Gentile to do, or is it equally prohibited to instruct a non-Jew to violate a law for Jews, such as muzzling? So the tzedakah collector used a muzzle shaped like a pushka to muzzle his ox when it threshed truma grain, was horrified when someone took one of his muzzles and instructed a nachri to muzzle his ox to thresh with it, and then heard another man muzzle his ox with his voice, shouting at it to prevent it from eating while threshing, which reminds us, Amoraim discussed transgressions performed by voice. Chasam b'kol, regarding one who muzzled by voice alone, meaning he shouted at it to prevent it from eating while threshing, minhiga b'kol, or he led the animal by voice while it was yoked together with another species, violating kalayim, Rabbi Yochanan said he's liable to malchus, and Rabbi Shlakish said he's not. Rabbi Yochanan holds that kimos piv havya maisa, bending his mouth to create sound, is considered sufficient action to incur malchus. Rabbi Shlakish holds, kala l'havya maisa, making sounds is not considered sufficient action to incur malchus. Alright, so now it's time to conclude our pop quiz of 10 questions. Number 1. Which stuff do you know when Rebbe brought back the wayward son and grandson of great Tanaim to Torah? That's on Daf. Hey. Good number 2. Which stuff do you discuss what the halakha is about a man saying to a nachri, muzzle my cow and thresh with it? That's on Daf. Tzadi. Good number 3. Which stuff do you have a question if a worker is working on one grapevine? May he eat from another grapevine? That's on Daf. Study off. Good number 4. Which stuff to discuss what the halakha is regarding a worker toasting produce in a fire and eating it? That's on Daf. Pay test. Good number 5. Which stuff to discuss whether one is transgressing muzzling his ox if the ox is threshing truma or miser? That's on Daf. Study. Good number 6. Which stuff do you want how Rabbi Chia went to great efforts to ensure that the Torah would not be forgotten? That's on Daf. Hey, good number 7. Which daf do we machok is whether a worker must work with both his hands and feet to be able to eat the produce? And we have a question about a chicken that threshes. That's on daf. Tzadiyav. Good number 8. Which daf do we learn the source that animals may also eat from attached produce? That's on daf. Peches. Good number 9. Which daf do we learn that one who muzzles a neighbor's cow and threshes with it receives lashes and pays the owner? That's on daf. Study off. Good. Number 10. Which stuff do you learn that tzaddikim say a little and do a lot, whereas Rishayim say a lot and they don't even do a little? That's on Daf. Pei Zayin. Excellent. That concludes today's shir. This is everybody from Goldharp from Zichu wishing you a great day and great learning.